Hi, podcasters. This is Andy Studna, editor of Applied Clinical Trials. For today's episode of the ACT podcast, I'm speaking with Dr. Flo Malum, VP of Science at Avvio Health. Flo has been with Avvio Health for over 6 months. She specializes in eCOA, providing advice and guidance to stakeholders on digitalization, remote capture of clinical outcome assessments, and the use of connected health devices in clinical trials. Prior to Avvio Health, Flo spent 2 years with Medable in multiple roles involving eCOA. So with that, thank you for joining me today, Flo.
Thank you very much for having me.
Our first question, could you take us through your career journey for our audience?
Absolutely. So I did my master's and my PhD in psychiatric research, and my focus was on ADHD. And this included the development of a patient-reported outcome measure. So it's kind of my first intro to the world of PROs. During this time, I also sat on an NHS ethics committee and spent some time at the Academy of Medical Sciences to really get exposure to how research gets translated out. And throughout this time, it became very clear to me that I wanted to be working closer to the impact in my career. So I, after my PhD, went into the private sector, and as you just mentioned, held positions in the science departments at Cignant Health and then at Medable, really focused on providing guidance on optimal digital data capture in clinical trials. And as you mentioned, with a focus on the electronic capture of clinical outcome assessments and then also connected health devices. And I am now the Vice President of Science at Avvio Health. I work very much cross-functionally to ensure that the scientific voice is embedded across the organization, and we provide the most robust solutions to our clients to support the success of the clinical trials that they're running, and really encouraging the teams to think about the end users of the technology. So primarily the participants and the sites, because if we make them successful, then we can have that impact on the trial being successful. I'm also very much a big believer in collaboration and really think that that's where we're going to have the opportunity to drive the industry forward. And so I work on lots of projects with the Critical Path Institute's eCOA Consortium. And I continue to publish and recently worked on a project that updated the best practices for the migration and electronic implementation of patient-reported outcome measures with an amazing group of industry colleagues on behalf of the eCOA Consortium. So really excited about that. That was recently published in Value in Health, and think that this will be a great blueprint for the industry going forward.
Great. So into my next question, you brought up the eCOA Consortium. I had the chance to meet Scotty Kern in Spain at Scope a couple months ago, but he was on a panel that I moderated, with a few other participants on eCOAs, ePROs, and DHTs. And Scotty in particular, but really the whole panel had a lot to say about getting aligned on the terminology in that space. So do you see that as a challenge in that space?
Yeah, absolutely. I think unless we're all speaking the same language, we're not really going to be able to effectively communicate with each other. If we think about clinical trials, and especially now we're moving towards integrating more technology within clinical trials, we're bringing together expertise from very different backgrounds and disciplines and schools of thought to make these trials more efficient. And, especially as we're thinking about new technologies and automation of certain processes, we're bringing together operations, science, technology, regulatory, and then also obviously we need to think about the participants and the sites. So we need to know that when we're speaking to each other, that we are using the same terminology. Otherwise, we're going to be interpreting each other differently and the requirements are not going to get translated into the actual product and the processes in the same way. And I think on the panel that you're referring to, there was also a really good point that was brought up about the regulatory agencies being aligned on terminology. And I think, this is especially the case when we're talking about new ways of doing things or new data types for submission and approvals. And those who are submitting need to know the right regulatory pathway to go down. And if we're not clear on the definitions between digital health technologies and eCOAs and wearables and sensors and connected healthcare devices, biomarkers, endpoints, there's so much of it. If we're not clear on that, and, the regulators are not clear on that in their guidance, then the sponsors, et cetera, are going to really struggle to know the regulatory pathways that they need to go down. And I think also there needs to be more collaboration between regulatory agencies across the globe. You know, it's very rare that we work on trials that are not global in nature and that submissions are going to all these different regulatory agencies. And it just creates more burden and removes the chance to increase efficiencies if we don't have that alignment between regulatory agencies. I also think that we can see that several different organizations are coming up with various lexicons or glossaries, which I think is a great initiative and it's really needed. But again, if we've got several different lexicons, several different glossaries, and each one is slightly different, it's probably not helping. So given the regulators almost sitting at the top, maybe it would be best coming from them.
Thank you for mentioning that panel again. You know, there were so many great points that came out of that. That was so much fun to be a part of. But moving into more of, you know, trial design now that involves these technologies, how can remote patient monitoring and device accessibility create additional layers to digital study design?
So I'll probably take those separately. So I'll start with the remote patient monitoring piece. And I think, you know, it's that opportunity to have earlier access to data on a participant's condition. So during the actual trial, rather than only looking at data at the end when we're conducting the final analysis. And it also gives this opportunity and potential to collect, I mean, almost an infinite number of data points from devices, whether that be wearables, sensors, the actual participant report. And it's got obviously lots of benefit and can really change how we're monitoring patients during trials and how we detect safety concerns. But I think we also really need to carefully think about how we introduce these methods of data collection into the trials and the actual operationalization of this. You know, we need to ensure that sponsors, the sites, the study teams can all effectively and easily manage this wealth of data. And essentially, that's a whole new skill set for them. They're already incredibly busy people, you know, they've working in clinics, conducting these clinical trials, and now they've got a whole new set of data that we're expecting them to be interrogating and using to make decisions about a participant in a clinical trial's care. And so I think training is going to be really important, and we really need to be speaking to the people on the end of this technology. So the sites and the sponsors and the study teams, how do they interact with these systems? How are they going to use that data? I think we really need to be ensuring that we're not creating undue burden. I think there's also the aspect of ensuring that all of the data we're collecting is actually going to be used. I think we can get very excited about technology and all of the benefits that it can offer, but we need to ensure we don't get carried away and we're not throwing all of these different technologies and these different systems at participants and those sites to the point where we overwhelm them. I think there's lots to do in that area. And I think, you know, the value that wearables can bring and remote patient monitoring, I think we haven't quite realized it yet. And I think we really need to understand that value better and really do that work into how sites are actually going to incorporate this into their day-to-day running of clinical trials. I think that's going to take a lot of collaboration as well across the industry. And then I think if we take accessibility in our digital solutions, that really comes down to the way you're designing your products and ensuring that they are going to be suitable for everybody. So they need to be built thinking about assistive devices in mind. So people with visual impairments or hearing impairments or cognitive difficulties or motor impairments, we need to ensure that the actual digital data collection methods and solutions that we're building are going to be accessible for everybody. Otherwise, we're not going to achieve diversity in clinical trials and we're going to be unduly excluding people from the trials. I think we can also take a step back and think about the actual measures themselves. So if we're thinking about patient-reported outcome measures, it goes back to the very creation of the measure. So if copyright holders have included colour as a meaningful aspect of their measure, how do people who are colorblind interact with those measures and provide responses? Or we know that capitalization isn't a form of emphasis in all cultures and all languages. So how do we think about ensuring that we're capturing the same data and people are interpreting those measures in the same way across cultures? So I think there's definitely lots to think about. We've got all these wonderful solutions, but we now really need to focus on how we optimize those. And we need to be thinking about that really upstream of the trial.
You know, for some of the stuff that I see on ACT, it definitely seems like a crowded space with a lot of different stuff going on. But on to the next question. How can stakeholders determine the most meaningful endpoints for their digital studies and then work backwards from there?
So you need to be very clear about what you believe your product is going to impact. So what aspect of patients' functioning or how they feel or survive do you believe that your product in your clinical trial is going to impact? And then you can think about what are the most appropriate endpoints that are going to speak to that, and then which are the measures or the devices that are going to be most suitable to accurately capture that data. So I think once you know what data you want to capture, then you can start thinking about how you're going to capture it in the most optimal way. And you should be paying strong consideration to flexibility and optionality to ensure that you can support the reduction of burden and really optimize robust data capture, retain participants in your trial, increase the participant experience. I think we need to remember that a one size doesn't fit all as we're designing our clinical trials, but very much starting from what you believe your product is going to impact and then working back from there.
And then following on that, what are some of the consequences that these stakeholders could face in trials that they don't craft the study design around their end goals?
Yeah, I mean, your endpoints are what you're using to measure the safety and the efficacy of your product. So if your study design is not going to facilitate efficient capture of those, for example, it leads to lots of missing data, then you're not going to be able to measure those endpoints effectively and know whether your product has been successful. Is it efficacious? Is it a safe product for participants? If you have not set up your study design in the most optimal way, you really increase the risk of your trial not being successful.
All right, great. Thank you. Now, for our last question, it seems like there's a lot, but what should stakeholders be keeping top of mind in this space of ECOAs and DHTs as we transition into the new year?
So I think we've touched on it, but I think accessibility and diversity come top of mind. There have been topics of increased conversation in the industry recently, and very much think of accessibility as, you know, it's the extent to which the products and the services in our specific context of use can be used by individuals with the widest range of characteristics and capabilities. And it's very much the foundation of diversity. So if we're saying that we think that digital data capture methods, or, you know, when we're introducing more decentralization to clinical trials, that we're going to improve diversity, we're not going to be able to achieve that if our solutions aren't accessible to everybody. So I actually think we need to start thinking about diversity more broadly. So we need to be thinking about people with vision impairments, hearing impairments, cognitive issues, motor impairments. I think it needs to encompass a broad spectrum of things. And then I think we can really start thinking about how we optimize our implementations for these methods of data capture. So I think that's going to become more of a focus next year. We've seen it being acknowledged in the patient-focused drug development guidance that has recently been released from the FDA. It's a very light-touch acknowledgement of the area of accessibility, and it really does require deeper exploration and realization of how do we actually implement that in reality. But yeah, it's top of mind, and we can see that the regulators are thinking about it. I think we very much have the assumption that these types of data capture methods will increase diversity, but I don't think we can just keep assuming that. I think we now need to have the evidence that shows that they actually do. And if they're not, then we need to understand why and how we can then optimize those methods to ensure that we are increasing diversity.
Great. Thank you so much. I know I mentioned it a few times before I asked the questions, but it just seems like there's so much going on in this space. And, you know, it's so interesting to hear all about it and all the ins and outs of it. So thank you. Thank you so much for your time today, Flo.
Thanks for having me.